Hey girl, welcome to the trophies. You are number one. I'm Melissa McLeod and I've been coaching women for over 16 years. I teach you how to make yourselves the priority, you know, number one in your life so you can show up as the best you can be for everyone else. In this podcast, I talk about relationships and communication, about goal setting and productivity. I'm a wife, a mom, California bred, currently living the expat life in South Asia. Sounds good? Well, let's go. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, today I am coming up for air because today I finished third grade. That's right. I wrapped up third grade. Actually, it's my daughter who finished third grade, but all the other homeschooling moms feel the same way I do, right? We just retook whatever grade our kids are in. I just completed third grade, which we call year four here in Sri Lanka. And I was side by side my daughter for the past 3 months, keeping her on task. Aside, you can ask me about improper fractions, decimals. I learned about different types of sentences and grammar. I did a module on ancient Egypt, where I learned more about Egypt than I did when I actually went to Egypt in April of last year. Anyway, a huge sense of accomplishment for sure. I'd like to dedicate this podcast to all the parents who just finished in elementary grade. Way to go. Your kids aren't old enough to be self-sufficient and sent to their rooms with their devices, so you had to do a lot of hand-holding, just like me. You're the real MVP. So way to go, moms and dads. Now, since March, I felt like I just haven't had a lot to share. I felt like I was in the trenches homeschooling, and also that everything I thought I would accomplish while homebound just went out the window. And I'm going to venture to say, I felt like I wasn't fulfilling on my goals, and that just never feels good. But what I became present to when sharing with my friends back home about our experience in quarantine was that I went through a really intense time. And it's only now that we're coming out of it, since Sri Lanka hasn't had a community case of COVID in the past month, I can see that. Gosh, I went through some shit, you guys. So I wanted to share with you what quarantine was like in a developing country where no one is essential, where the army is keeping curfew, and give you some perspective on, well, why you should wear a mask, okay? So this is my experience only, and I'm well aware that some people in Sri Lanka, like friends of mine, had driving privileges. They had a different experience, and there were people that had it way worse, like villagers and the homeless who didn't have access to food like I did. And hello, they couldn't even wash their hands when all the reports were just saying, just wash your hands and don't touch your face. Not even possible. So what happened was, I'll back it up. My husband and two kids and I moved here to Colombo, Sri Lanka in 2018. It was a dream fulfilled. I'd wanted to live abroad before my kids got much older. It was a bucket list item that would give my family this expanded view of the world and understanding of the human condition. I mean, we thought we got that right away. We thought we were living on the edge in October 2018, just 1 month after we moved, when there was political unrest and the president ousted the prime minister. I mean, can you imagine, like, the president of the US getting rid of, let's say, the Speaker of the House just because he wanted to? That'd be crazy, right? Nancy, you're fired. I mean, that wouldn't happen. It's unconstitutional. Like, oh my God, let's hope that wouldn't happen. But that was nothing compared to what went down last April 2019, when the Easter Sunday attacks occurred and six bombs went off in succession in what seems to have been an ISIS-related attack against Christians celebrating Easter, although no one has claimed responsibility for the terrorism. And after those bombings last year, my family was evacuated to Singapore. And then we spent the rest of the summer in the US until we were cleared to return to Sri Lanka in the fall. So we thought, after everything we'd been through, all these times when we weren't even supposed to be leaving our home anyway, that those were the most intense things we'd experience while living here. How naive. So let's back it up. 3+ months. On Thursday, March 12th, I picked up my son from kindergarten. And the Ministry of Education announced that schools may close due to COVID. So preemptively, his teachers handed me all of his learning materials, all of his books and workbooks upon pickup and said, "We'll be in touch." So I took him home. I raced to pick up my daughter from her school and we went straight to the grocery store. It was like the apocalypse. It took us forever to get out of there. We filled up a whole trolley, a whole shopping cart, and a basket. And thank goodness we did that. Caitlin's school had one more day, Friday the 13th. And it was a good thing because they gave the kids instruction on how to use Microsoft Teams and what the expectations were, etc. It set her up for being totally preoccupied for the next 3 months. And the next week, we were put on curfew. Military curfew. This isn't shelter in place. This isn't suggested quarantine. This was military curfew. You cannot leave your home, not even for food. No one is essential except for hospital staff and then the army and police who are enforcing the curfew. Now, because we're in the capital, Colombo is this loud, noisy city. There's just under a million people here. And there's buses and cars and so many mopeds and scooters and tuk-tuks and people and even animals like dogs on the road. Everyone honks or barks. Everyone. It's just how they drive here. And the driving is not like what you're used to in the United States. It's this slow-paced dance of weaving in and out of other moving vehicles without regards to the lines on the road or the side of the street that you're even driving on. And so everyone uses their horn as a way to just let people know that, hey, I'm just right behind you, or I'm over here in your blind spot, or I'm going to cut you off, or I'm going to go around you, or I'd like you to go faster, or I'm going to pass you. There's constant honking in Sri Lanka. And I hear the noise from my apartment. And then the tuk-tuks are like an entirely different layer of noise. And they're often used to deliver things like bread. Many of them are bread trucks, which are like food trucks, but they sell rolls and these bread-like snacks. We call them short eats. And they drive all around town and they play one of two songs. Either It's a Small World or Fear Elise all day long. So they drive around and they park and they go do 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 do. So the city of Colombo is like honk honk. A train goes by do 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 like all the time. So on military curfew, the city was silent, except for the ocean and the birds. And the stray dogs who all bark together in the morning. I don't know how they do that. And then the call to prayer. And five times a day, we heard the call to prayer from the nearby mosque, which is basically a man singing a cappella, the Islamic worship music. And whoever you are, whatever you believe in, it's undeniably beautiful once you get used to it because it starts at 4:45 a.m. And so that was one of the silver linings of curfew, to wake up and hear the waves and see the parrots and listen to the worship music. It was really an extraordinary part of this curfew. And by 7:30, y'all, it was game on. My daughter, who goes to a British school, had to log onto her computer and interact with her teacher 7:30 a.m. And then she was given a timetable. Every hour or 90 minutes, they had a lesson and then had to submit work, ideally before the next lesson began. And it was like this all day long. Go, go, go. Oh, I don't know. I don't remember this. Adding fractions with different denominators. Ah, okay. I'll Google it for you. Okay. You go do your next lesson. I'll take a picture. I'll upload this and turn it in. We'll catch up during lunch. Just get it done. It was like that all day long, especially in the beginning. It was so intense until we just got in the swing of things. And poor Owen, my son, who's in kinder, he got the shaft. I was so preoccupied with Caitlin that I just did the bare minimum with him. We did maybe 10% math, reading, 90% Lego, and iPad. I just prioritized my daughter's work and he got the short end of the stick. Poor kid. And it was so intense each day, especially in the beginning. All I wanted was just a nice glass of red wine to just unwind at the end of the day. Nope, no alcohol. It was illegal. Cigarettes too. Alcohol was banned. So if you had some already, great. If not, you were SOL. And until food was able to be distributed, we only had what was in our pantry and fridge. I interacted with the manager at our apartment who stayed here during the curfew, and he commented, "Well, madame, everyone knows you have a month of food on hand at all times." They do? I didn't know that. That's not in the expat brochure. Good to know, but Sri Lankans, they all lived through a civil war. Anyone over the age attended anyway, and their access to food and other goods, probably education too, I guess it was limited. And locals are probably better prepared for the curfew than I was. I didn't know you're supposed to have a month of food on hand. But soon farmers were allowed to sell produce and dry goods became available on lorries, that trucks that would drive around town, and they stopped every street or so. And thank goodness I was in an apartment because they'd come to our building where they knew they could make a lot of sales at once. And a neighbor of mine coordinated a WhatsApp group, which is how everyone communicates here, by the way, on WhatsApp. It's way bigger than something like Facebook. And every time a truck came, we'd get a notification on WhatsApp, put our masks on, which were and are required, by the way, it's the law, and race downstairs to wait in line for the food trucks, standing 1.5 meters apart, of course. And if you follow me on Facebook or Instagram, you saw that the produce was new and exciting. Winged beans, snake gourd, bitter gourd, things I'd never seen before. I was sending pictures to my neighbors. What is this? How do I cook this? Lots of firsts during quarantine, not the least being trying new foods. So we had produce, we had dry goods, and soon even supermarkets started taking orders and making deliveries. And another silver lining from the curfew was that e-commerce was forced. It just wasn't a thing here. There's no Instacart. Companies don't have websites where you can place online orders. It's just, it doesn't happen. But people had to adapt to remain in business. And PickMe, which is the local Uber, and soon Uber Eats as well, were able to use their infrastructure of drivers to deliver essentials. And in the beginning, all you could get was rice, lentils, soap. Every few days, we'd see a new offer on PickMe, like a new grocer. And then by mid to late April, I'd say a few restaurants. And by now this is, when is this? The end of June? I've been exposed to food distributors I never knew existed here in Sri Lanka because they didn't have an online presence. And now I know about them through things like PickMe. Like there's this French butcher and there's a seafood company and bread companies, even an ice cream delivery. It's made our food options here even better than before the quarantine. And this was really intense for me because I felt like I had to be on call whenever I placed an order. They would call me when they're downstairs and then I'd have to race down to get them, or they would come a week after I placed the order and I had forgotten about it, or they never came at all. And then you're dealing with a refund that you're probably never going to get. So it was definitely intense doing the deliveries, although now it's getting a lot better. Like anything that's new, there's a few kinks to iron out, like anything that's happening for the first time. And another little bonus, 3 times now, a mobile cafe has come to our apartment serving coffee and pastries, which is so exciting. And I don't even really drink coffee. I'm a tea kind of gal, but if it's there and there's nothing else to do, I'll sit and I'll have a cappuccino. That was a highlight. We got to do that 3 times now. So being in an apartment definitely gave us a few more options to move around. Our pool, it was closed, but then it reopened in May. And so we were able to swim almost every day. Not as nice now since it's monsoon season, so it's not always the best weather, but that was a great, great opportunity to take a break from school every afternoon. And then Owen learned how to ride a bike in our basement parking garage. And we have a 1/10 of a mile track that we could walk around over and over and over and over again. And I found during quarantine that the sweet spot was get the kids out of the house at least twice a day. Bikes or scooters around the parking lot, go swimming after school. That needs to happen. Got to get the kids out of the house. or else it's like meltdown city. My daughter will sit in her room and play and watch YouTube all day if we let her, but our son, it was meltdown city. Had to get him out of the house. And another fun thing for the kids was one dad in our apartment building would pile the kids into his car and drive them around the parking lot, blasting techno and dance music, going about 5 miles an hour. And they had the best time. Now, my husband was kept fairly busy working from home, but we were able to have so much time together as a family. Just not having to do the school pickups and the school drop-offs, and then his commute to and from work freed up so much time. That might be my favorite part about quarantine, is that because the roads here and the traffic is so crazy, that was eliminated from our lifestyle. And just thinking about it brings a smile to my face because it really is such a time suck. And so we had all this family time together. It was intense and also so memorable. We played Skip-Bo, which is this card game, Bananagrams. And we watched so many wonderful movies from Patrick's in my childhood that the kids loved, like the Back to the Future trilogy, Apple Dumpling Game, Goonies. Even I saw a new one, The Sound of Music. Have you ever heard of it? I'd never seen it. So I think all the families would agree, especially for those who have parents that work outside the home. This, we'll call it forced togetherness. It did have some really tender moments. And my kids had so many Nerf gun fights with Pat. I even participated in a couple and they wrestled together. It was just a huge opportunity for bonding with their dad. Oh, but the hardest part of quarantine, I'll share with you. Can you guess what it was? The roaches. No one was essential, so we couldn't get an exterminator. And trash pickup wasn't happening. I almost thought I wasn't going to make it. I could not deal with all the cockroaches. And it kept me up at night. And I was searching for flights home every day. And a month ago, things almost immediately started turning around. And the government relaxed the curfew because the COVID cases were so low, less than 1,000 at that point. And then the grocery stores reopened. And we were able to leave one day a week based on the last number of your ID card or passport. We could go to the grocery store and no one checked my passport when I did. So I went out a bunch. More and more businesses started opening and we were able to get exterminators back in here. Thank goodness. I don't think I would still be here. I couldn't handle it walking into your kitchen every time and everything just scatters. It just moves. So by early June, I felt like we were coming out of the worst of it. So if I sound like I'm in good spirits, it's because last weekend was the first weekend we were able to travel. We left the city limits. We went to a hotel. You remember those? We ate at a restaurant. Can you imagine? And we checked the kids into a kids club. What? I swam in the ocean. So because of all these draconian measures, like we can't leave our homes and the airport was shut down, they haven't had a community spread case of COVID in a month. Don't quote me on these exact numbers, but that's what's been reported. Now, the major disappointments out of all this were that we missed out on our April trip to Australia and still haven't gotten a refund from those tickets, by the way. And then a trip home to California for the summer for the kids and me. We purchased all these tickets, but flights were canceled. And the re-entry requirements in Sri Lanka are such that if I left, I may not be able to back without spending 14 days in quarantine with the kids. And you can quote me on this. I will not spend 14 days in a room with crappy internet with my kids. We would all lose our minds. So those were huge bummers, but I do support what Sri Lanka has done. No incoming passengers unless they go to quarantine. And another crazy thing I'm dealing with right now, mail. We didn't have mail. And now I'm getting all the Easter cards my family sent in the previous months, all my daughter's birthday cards, all of our bills, everything's finally arriving because the mail was not operating. It was stuck somewhere. All the international mail, probably on a plane that couldn't land in Sri Lanka. I have so much mail. I don't even want to deal with it. And so now, right now, we're just awaiting the decisions as to how the schools will reopen in the fall. And I am scrambling to find summer activities now that my flights to Los Angeles were canceled. And I'm holding the intention that I can be home for the holidays, which will be a year and a half since I saw my family. And like I say about living abroad, the highs are really high and the lows are really low. And the hardest part for me is being so far from the people I love and the roaches. Thanks for listening. Love you guys. Would you believe I just bought a new passion planner? You know, I love my paper planner. I was using the Passion Planner Daily that you can check out at yourpassionplanner.com. Thanks for sponsoring this episode, you guys. And all my 2020 goals went out the window. Just like you, I started 2020 starry-eyed, new year, new decade, new goals. I was going to just hit it out of the park. And then 2020 happened. And now I am giving myself a new clean, fresh start with a new passion planner. So I bought a new planner and I just opened it up and I rewrote my goals for the rest of the year. I wanted to start fresh. And so I invite you to do the same. If you haven't written out what you want for 2020 or revised what's going to happen for you the rest of this year, check out the deeply discounted passion planners at yourpassionplanner.com.